Good morning. This past week's daf is daf Lamed Gimel. First daf in the fourth parak of Maseches Nedarim. Zok the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Beis on Beis. Ein ben hamuda hanor mechaver lemuda himenu ma'ichol. A familiar sounding Mishnah for those who were with us in the Maseches Megillah. Ein ben hamuda, the Mishnah says as follows. What is telling us the difference between these two anedorim? Amuda hanor mechaver, someone who's mad at hanor from his friend, then he can't receive hanor. Hanor, any hanor. Lamuda himen ma'icho, or a different nether. Person answers Hano Asmaich. We'll see in the Gemara exactly how this nether was made. But for now, the Isser was an Isser of Maichel, not all Hanois, specifically Hano Asmaichel.
Just to clarify, when we say Mudr Hano, do we mean to get Hano from that person or from that person's Nechasim? Or we don't know yet.
As far as an afkamino, if he is kind of later, those kind of shilas.
That's me. Yeah, one. I mean, I'm just thinking. What did the Ram say back here? He said, when the Ram had some nafkaminas back here, that what was the issue? Oh, that meaning when you could overpay or underpay. He said that wouldn't help at all if you were usher in his nechassim.
Mm-hmm.
It would be even if you paid triple, it would
right.
be still usher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So it seemed like it's the person, not the nechassim. It's also Mishnah that the difference between these two nedarim is the following: Jesus Aragel, in order to be able to walk through that person's property, that will be also by Amud Hano. That's Hano. However, this Hano is not food related, so therefore it will be mutter. So the Mishnah and another general difference will be Kelim Shenaisim Bahanaichal Nefesh. To borrow Kelim that are not used in conjunction with food, so again, that the Mudr Men Hano, that priest, he's being nana from that person. However, the Mudr Ma'ichel, since these things are not food related, so it will be mutter. And the Mishnah goes further to explain as follows: Hamudr Ma'ichel Mechaber Lo Yesh Lenu Napo Kfor Lechayim Itanu. Mishnah mentions four types of kelim, which are also even by a Mudr Mimenu Ma'ichel. The Mishnah said, "Kelim she'eino yisim aleichal nefesh." Zok the Mishnah, these kelim are included in kelim which are oisin aleichal nefesh, and they're also napa and kfora. These are types of strainers and sieves, some things that separate something in the preliminary stages of making food. Rechaim, grinding tanner, that's the oven itself. So Zot Mishnah, these things are also, these are included in the kelim which are oisim b'hen oichel nefesh, and therefore this will be also even on a mudr ma'ichel. Avol mashlo choluk v'tabas v'talos nuzomim. However, Zot Mishnah, that these following kelim which are not used at all in conjunction with food preparation, choluk, a garment, shirt, v'tabas, v'talis, nizomim, ring, nizomim, right, these are types of earrings and things like that, ornaments, talis, these are things that which are worn, all these things are worn, clothing, etc. And these things are not shayach to ma'ichol, Right, we'll see maybe in the Gemara more about this, but B'muskul Rishon, that's what the Mishnah is saying over here, and these are mutter. Let's see over here the Ran. Look the Ran like this. Yeah, we're looking at the Ran at the beginning of the Mishnah. Mishnah in the Perex. Zokteran, Ein Ben Hamuda Hano El Zrisas Haregel. Zokteran, the Ran says as follows: Shamuda Hano Also Laver Derech Hatzeiray. Hamuda Hano is also to pass through. Hamuda Bimeno Meichel is Shorin. That Hano is. It's a hano, but it's not a food-related hano, and therefore that's why there's an afkamina between these two types of nidono.
Do you know why the run had to tell us that? We have thought something otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Zok the run the kelim she'en oisim banechol nefesh. And the Ran explains, the Ran tells us that this also, he gives us the follow through. The Shobah Mudr Ma'ichel, it's Mutter by Mudr Ma'ichel. Zot the Ran, Kol She'en Maskirin Kiyetz Bo'en Kin Mefanish Va'ozom. The Ran references the second part of the Mishnah, which, you know, in the Gemara over here, Gemara breaks it up. But the next part is really part of the Mishnah. That the kelim that we're saying that she'ein oisim ben oichel nefesh are things she'ein maskirin kiyetze bohen, types of kelim that people don't rent out. And uvamudah hano, that's also. We could see that right now, for that matter. Let's jump to the next Mishnah, which is really the same Mishnah. We probably consider it that it's like this Mishnah, which we are. Next couple of Mishnah is really, really good altogether. B'chol dover she'ein oisin boy oichel nefesh. The Mishnah says as follows: that even kelim which are not food related ein oisin boy oichel nefesh. However, mokum shemaskin kets b'hen osim. That if the way people conduct themselves over here is that these type of kelim are rented out. People rent out this kelim rather than lend them for free. So if our person over here, the mudr Michael, is gonna borrow from his friend for free, so this would haka be also, even though this keli itself is not food related. And the reason for that is, the Rishonim say, is because he's saving himself the rental fee. And the rental fee, that money is something which could bring food. So therefore, if it's a mokum shema askirim, so then it is related. There is a hanos meichel here. Now, let's see the hemshuch of the Ran. The Ran says as follows. V'lo yashileno napo kfor rechaim v'taner. Right, that's back in the first part of the Mishnah. Over here, the Mishnah elaborates.
That's when he saves the rental fee, that's more indirect. It's not tangible.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Yeah, so when it comes back, as soon as we see this Ran, I want to come back to that. Okay. The Ran says, right? Itzrich. Look, the Ran. Itzrich lemisni hani. The Ran, right, is already. That are answering an unspoken question, right? The Ran wants to know that, well, why is it necessary? I mean, the Mishnah told us that the nafkamina is things that kelim which are not used for eichel nefesh. So it means things which are used for eichel nefesh also. Well, why is it necessary for the Mishnah to this second half of the Mishnah to tell me this, that these kelim which are food related kelim are also zok the Ran itzich lemisni hani ki heichid loyseis gadait. A person should not think. This that we said, that kelim which are oisin oichel nefesh, and that's what comes out of the Mishnah, is hanemili kidero shemevashlin bo. One might have thought that the types of kelim are kelim which The food, we'll see. Well, let's see his rant. First rant tells us certain types of kelim. Pat shemevashlimba, that the actual cooking is being done in this keli. Inamid shmud shput shetzayin lebay baser. At or shput, a spit that one roasts directly on the shput.
Doesn't he put the food directly in the tanner? I think somewhere the Gemara talks about that they put the bread on the walls of the tanner. Doesn't the tanner cook directly?
Well, I mean, that's the difference between cooking and baking, right?
There's a difference between cooking and baking. I mean, one is with water, one is without water, but why should there be a difference?
I'm saying the way it's done. Right, being that it's done with water, so therefore, you know, you can't put it directly into the oven. So it has to be put into a pot.
I think I saw in a footnote somewhere that it's talking about ovens to make pots, not cooking ovens.
Oh, yeah?
I don't remember if it was art school. I saw that someplace.
Because if it's an oven that makes food, I would think that it's like a pot. It should be like a pot. It directly makes the food. It's not a step removed. It's not a gorm of a gorm. The other three, Napa, Kafir, and Rechaim, you're sifting the you're grinding, and then now you have an ingredient for the food.
Yeah, he quotes, the Tosfos Yantif explains that the Mishnah's case of oven is not a bread oven of former times, where people would bake by attaching the dough on its walls. Such an oven would indeed be preparing the final food. Rather, the Mishnah is talking, speaks of an oven into which pots and pans containing the uncooked food is placed. I'm sorry, so I didn't say it
pots
right.
Pots and pans containing
food. So it's not directly in the oven.
It doesn't touch the walls.
Right.
So you have to put a pot, a pan. So
that's according to Tosfos Yantif.
But still, that the oven is used to finalize, make the food ready to eat. Even if it's in a pot or a pan, the oven is used to make the food ready to eat, as opposed to when you have a napa, kivra, vechayim, it's used to make an ingredient. And that's a gurm of a gurm.
Mm-hmm. So let's see what the Ran is telling us. I mean, first we see over there, I mean, these are all, you're right, in a tanner, this part of the production is happening at once. You know, the food is in the pot, and you put the pot into the oven, and the pot itself is considered, I mean, even according to the Saka Daitach, the pot, I would think that only a pot is also, pot is more direct. The tanner is a gurim de gurim, even though it's happening simultaneously. So that's the first thing that you see over here, that we're not talking about a difference in time, steps, as far as that's concerned. We're talking about even something which are happening simultaneously, but one thing could be considered a direct goyrim, and something is a goyrim of the next. Now, this, I guess we have to ask our what do you call them? Yeah, akoponim. But we have to ask those who know how these things work. Is that how do we view a pot in an oven? Right? Is the pot just the mere hechetimsa, just to hold the water from spilling out, but the oven is what's cooking, or we're viewing that it's cooking in the pot, and the oven is just creating an outside atmosphere. Let's say,
and just a source of heat.
Yeah, right. I mean, especially if you're cooking with a liquid, like we were saying, right? So it's really the liquid which is cooking. Right? You're just producing a form of heat in order to heat up the water, to keep the water hot. So that's how that form of cooking is done. Right? It's not just just tempering the heat, keeping it right. As opposed to a roast, just that it shouldn't roast it. You keep the cooking is actually done with the water, which is in the pot itself. So therefore, the tanner itself is creating the heat source. It's heating up the water, but the heating is done with the water itself. That's what a bishul is.
Maybe why the Mishnah doesn't mention a microwave.
Okay, right. But I just want to hear. But I hear from what Shlomo is saying over from the Tosfos Yontif, a point like this, that it sounds like he was making a difference between what type of tanner that is, right? What type of tanner?
It's a different type of tanner, or is it a different usage in the tanner? The tanner looks different?
The point I'm saying is it dependent on what this keli is used for, or is it depending on what you're borrowing it for?
Could it be based on, let's just say the tzadid you want to say, if it's based on how you're using it, you're still asering the tanner. If one time you used it to make a pot and another time you used it to cook something in a pot, it's still the same tanner. Are you a little confused? What we're saying now is that if you would make a pot in the tanner, it's aser, right? Because you made a pot in the tanner. That's what the Yosef Yom said. But if you put a pot...
He didn't say make a pot. He said put in a pot with food in it. As
that was butcher, right?
No.
Isn't that what he said?
It's aser.
Yeah, if you put it in a pot in the oven, then it's mutter.
How can it be mutter?
Because what's aser is like where you put the loaves on the walls of the...
They're all aser.
Well,
okay, the Mishnah says... Lo yashlan anapar kavar rechayim.
Right.
Forget about that. We're talking. You wanted to talk about the Tosfos Yontif
is qualifying.
even in the end of the day, everything's aser.
No.
You can't put. You. They're all.
You're going in your own sheet now. You're creating your own sheet.
The Mishnah says lo yashlan anapar kavar rechayim v'taner.
But we're asking what kind of a taner. It doesn't say what kind. Doesn't say any kind of a tanner, which you just said. Doesn't say any kind of a tanner because
there's a chiddush if the tanner has a pot inside of it, and if a tanner doesn't have a pot inside of it, it's no chiddush because it's like a pot itself. But either way, it's aser.
All right, hold on. Read the Tosfos Yontif.
That's why it's a chiddush.
Okay. Let's read it again and see.
Either way, it's aser 100%. It says that you can't use the tanner. There's no
shiloh
about this.
Okay.
Right, so based on the Ran, Tosfos Yontif explains that the Mishnah's case of the oven is not a bread oven of former times. For people then would bake by attaching the dough to the walls. Such an oven would indeed prepare the final food. Rather, the Mishnah speaks of an oven into which pots and pans containing the uncooked food, the uncooked foods are placed.
And that's the case of Lo Yashilenu. You cannot use it. You cannot use it if you have had Mudr Michael. And therefore, you can't use it. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Lo yashilenu taner. Okay. What's the case of lo yashilenu taner?
I hear what you're
right.
Okay.
Even that's aser.
That's the case. That's aser in the Mishnah. That's the case of a chiddush. If it would be the bread oven that's on the wall of the thing, it wouldn't be a chiddush because it would be like the pot itself.
And what did he say about putting pots in? Didn't he say putting pots in the oven?
To make pots?
Hold on.
Rather, the Mishnah speaks of an oven in which pots and pans containing the uncooked food are placed. Right? And what,
the Mishnah is talking about where the uncooked food is placed. Okay. That's right. What you're saying.
Right.
And not just making the pots. He said both of them.
What?
He said making a oven to make the pots or to place the uncooked food.
No, so when I said making the pots, that was a misremembering or misread.
Fine. Okay. All right. Okay, fine. Shkoch.
That's called a kiln. Kiln?
Something like that.
Let's see where we are. So you were saying over there are two different types of oven. There's a bread oven and there's a food oven. Is that what it was? Or
I think so. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You still have to say it's two different kinds of ovens.
Right.
If it was only one oven, then there's still no chiddush. Right?
I mean, unless what Rabbi Weinstein said is that it depends on what the person's using it for. Is it totally on what the oven is or what the usage is? If the man is going to use it not to put the bread on the wall, but to use it to put a pan or a pot inside of it, if there's only one type of oven, is it totally on what the usage is or is it totally on what the...
What are you saying, Tully? You're saying they're both usser. It's usser no matter what.
Usher.
Okay. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah if there's only one kind of oven?
The chiddush
is even if you only used it for this.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I guess a nafka, you know, it stemmed from your thinking is what if a person was, you know, borrowing an oven and using it for just a totally different reason. You know,
if you borrow a hammer from a person and you wanted to use it to smash open nuts, so that's a kli that's officially not for ochel
right,
nefesh.
Right, but this is
but maybe I don't know what gedda that would fall into.
But this is the flip side. This is you're borrowing something that's typically used for food.
That's right.
Right, and so according to the lashon of the Mishnah, at least. Is it goes
he
after? It's not if you're going to actually use it. It's if it's an ochel nefesh keli, you're not allowed to borrow
right.
it, regardless of if you know you just use it to put the dirty dishes in when the guests
right.
come.
So what does Rabbi Weinstein say? Now that we're all saying our
I would think that it really should be dependent on the usage. I would think so.
So is a hammer usser or mutter if you're going to use it to smash open nuts?
So it would be usser.
It's usser. Even though it's not a keli she'osim b'hem ochel nefesh, normally.
Right.
It's not telling on what the keli is, it's telling on your usage.
I would think so, yeah.
And if you would use the oven for something not food related at all, then it would be mutter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing to do with what the keli is, it's to do with what usage is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would ask you, just to bring out the point, at what point is he over? At the point of borrowing, or at the point of usage?
So when a person borrows something that typically gets rented out and he's borrowing it for free, so, I mean, do we see a nafkamina of that savings of money? What he's, we have an extra $10 this week, let's eat out as compared to buy a new vase or, flowers for Shabbos. Or...
Okay, that's a point. Let's think about that for a moment. Right, the Mishnah later on says that kalim which are rented out, even though these kalim are not at all food related, but if it's something which is normally rented out and you're borrowing it, getting it for free, so the Mishnah says that will be awesome. Because that would be equivalent to him giving you money.
Let's say he gives you a $10 bill.
I would think that that's what the Mishnah is saying, right? Okay.
But Shlomo saying he wants to use the $10 bill to buy something else.
Yes, so that's what we want to discuss right now. Yeah, right. Let's talk to hear that. I mean, the Mishnah says that will be also because he has the money. Now. So what we're questioning is that granted he has the money, but you know he wasn't planning on using it for food. So what you see from the Mishnah is that the mere fact that he has something which could bring him food, that in itself is awesome. His money is something which could bring food. So to give something, right now you have the shortest to do it. The possibility to bring you food, that's enough to be osur in, you know, a mudr maichel. And therefore Shlomo wants to say, so therefore that if you borrow something which has the function to do something for food, so that in itself should be osur. That's when he wants to bring a raya from over there. That you see that once you have this thing, even if you're not planning on using it for that purpose, right? Not like I was saying that it's dependent on.
Let's say you move the Michael. Can he give the other person a chair as a gift? And the person who made the nether can take the chair, can sell the chair, and can buy supper.
No, you don't have to go so far. He doesn't have to buy a chair. He's got money now for food. That was the case of the.
I'm asking, can he get a gift from the person he made a nether not to get off him as a chair?
What's the difference between that and the skewers? He gives him something that he would have had to rent out, and he saves that money. He just saved the money. He didn't actually get money.
I don't need a chair. I never wanted a chair. I don't need a chair. I wasn't going to pay money for a chair, but I want to take the chair, and I want to sell the chair, and I'm going to get $10, and I'm going to buy supper with the $10.
Yeah. I mean, the difference between the two cases is that when someone's borrowing something, l'chora, if he wouldn't borrow it from that person, he's going to rent it and pay the $10. Here, the guy's giving a chair. You know, okay, so I won't have a chair, I will have a chair, right? And there's no specific saving of money. It's now you have a chair. Right, great, you know, it's, you know, my living room looks great now. Like,
okay. You know,
But Elio is asking, let's see what the right answer to this is that if we're saying over here that if a person, you know, you can't give him money, right? I mean that lechara would be definitely derived kinira from kelim that are rented, right? That you can't. So you can't give him money. So Elio wants to know is that if that's so that mean anything really could be turned, you know, and eventually, brought to bring about food. So even kelim she'enosimena, okay, that's not such a good example because that's borrowing. But that's what we're talking about. But as a gift, the mission doesn't talk about it. I just want to say, if we have a source of this, but. L'chayra, it doesn't sound like.
Okay. If I borrow his lawnmower, and then I go to my neighbor and I use his lawnmower to get paid for cutting my neighbor's grass, and then I take the money and buy food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Again, the default. I didn't say the default is the mission. No one says that's usher. So when you'd have to find someone saying that's usher, it says a very specific case where you're saving money. On what you're borrowing, right? It's not saying that if you get a gift that isn't ochel nefesh that you might sell it and then use the money to.
Doesn't say either way.
Right. So, but the fault is if it doesn't say it, then why would you presume it usher?
Because it has a potential to bring you money that you can buy.
No. So granted, let's say it's not usher, but so how would you explain that difference? That's what he wants. That's what he wants to know.
So that's what I said before. It's because here you have an interest in the product, and you would have paid the $10 for it, and you're not paying it. So now you have
$10. But now what are you going to do with this $10?
So
anything,
right? But
so that's really what he's asking. When you have the cheer, So he's, this is what his question is. His cheer is like a $10. That's what this question is. That so there might be a simple answer to this, but that's asking a little different point. Right? The question is, if you see that if you give him means to buy food, right, whether he plans on it or not, but that's included in the Isser. So, does it have to be in the form of money? Or anything that if you give him something, it could be transferred and could be used to buy food. That was the basis of his question. So what would you say? You could answer that also.
I question if a chair is like money. That's okay. Is money has different right? There's different things of rivis and shayla.
So we could say even simpler, that money is used. The purpose of money is to buy things.
Yeah.
So therefore, we could look at by giving him money, saving him money. Right now, that now we have. We should be looking at, since the essence of money is something which will bring something in return, so that's why food is a possibility of that, so that's why it's also. But a cheer, even though a person could do that, but that's not the purpose of a cheer. Right? And being that it's not the purpose of a cheer, it's the fact that, if you wanted, you could sell it, that we're not gonna view that possibility as a food bringer, because that's not the purpose of a cheer. Okay, that could be a simple explanation on to explain why the halacha might be different. But what we didn't want to be more is like this. What do you hold about Michael? Yes, he's still contemplating. Maybe you have a different
I'm listening to good stuff.
Okay.
I would lean towards saying it's usher to accept the chair, but
mm-hmm, okay.
But
okay.
I hear.
Okay.
Now, many Gemara that say that Shavu Kesef is Gekesef.
I don't know if that's necessarily relevant to what we're talking about over here. Right. Right, like we were mechalik, right? I'm not sure if that's one is dependent on the next. Now, but what we did want to ask over here is like this: that the Ran tells us that the reason why the Mishnah speaks out that these kelim, napa, kfora, taner, bechaim, are osur, because one might have thought that only direct kelim, which are direct. Are also right. So
direct means making the finished product.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So on that, what would you think about such a question? Well, the Mishnah itself, like we just saw, talks about that saving a person money is also because money could bring. So wouldn't you see from over there that you obviously don't have to be the give him something which is a direct
food.
Making food.
Here we're talking about even Devar Shein Maskirin.
Right.
That's only Devar Shein Maskirin that we're saving him food. Here we're talking about it's something where he's not saving any money, and it's nevertheless it's usher.
Right. What I meant to ask was, as I'm speaking it through, I'm not sure if it's a good question. Saving him money or giving him money, right? So maybe that really is a direct. When I asked the question, I was assuming that it's not really a direct food maker. Okay. But maybe that's really wrong, right? The person has money. Fine, he could go buy the finished product. Right? He could, right? Itaka is a direct goyim. It's more direct than that of a tanner. A tanner was a harder example. But let's say, you know, that there's a napa kfora, right? The food is not after this is done, after you use this keli, the food is not ready. But if I give you money, I mean, theoretically, using the money, you know, you have your sandwich, you know, you could partake in the food, so you could buy a finished product. I mean, definitely in today's day and age. But
the
even
Gemara
then, you
talks about food. Mar Ukva, that is that his wife gave food and he gave money, and money is a step removed. The Ani has to take the money and find somebody to buy food from, and that's already removed.
Yeah, it's a step removed from having the money itself. But in what we're talking about, right? We're talking about a pot. A pot, we don't eat a pot, right? But a pot is a direct food causer, right? And that's what's also. So we want to talk about money, right? You know, we're talking about already something which is not the actual food itself, and we're talking about what, you know, how it helps in bringing the food. So money could be a direct causer for food. What would you think? What do you think?
It's also a chiddush that money that you save is considered like giving the person money.
But
I know we say a penny saved is a penny earned, but that's a chiddush though. I would have paid rent to buy this, to rent this keli from somebody else, and I don't have to pay rent because he's giving it to me without rent, so therefore I saved money, and that's as if he gave me money.
So let's maybe ask a more educated question, right? I mean, doesn't the Mishnah say that it's mutter to be pareh choyvay, right? That the Tana of these Mishnah is, right? That's what it talks about,
sure,
whether it's chon or not, right?
Right.
Is that only? Hold on a second. Is that even if it's the chov to you?
No.
If you're mochel chov, you lent somebody money, and now you're usher hana from him.
You can pay off his mortgage.
Okay. If Shimon owes money to Levi, and Shimon is usher and hana from Reuven, Reuven for sure can pay Levi the money because that's mavriach hari. I mean, it's machlokas, but according to Hanan.
Okay.
But if Shimon owns money to Reuven, and now Shim becomes Asr Hana Beruvin, can he be mochel that loan or that mechila? That's called a Hana.
Is there a difference whether he's Mavriach someone else or whether he's Mavriach himself?
Right, that's my question. I
right.
What
do we know? What do we know about that? We have any sources on that?
Rashi and Ksubos?
Yeah, okay.
Gemara's
aren't
here. Oh, they're on the bottom?
Yeah.
I hear a Mokum Lechal, but let's see what we have.
Where was that Gemara? Do you remember?
Oh, this Gemara here?
Yeah, the one that's
Chanan.
Yeah.
Kuvdalan. Kuvdalan and Aleph. Kuvdalan and Aleph.
No. Maybe Kuvzayin.
Kuvzayin on the base.
That's okay. This is the Rashi that I want right here. I feel Tamar Rabbanan. De'imer chayav afal pi shalo amar helveni. Gabi shar chov nami chayav l'shalom v'chi machol. V'chi machol aser b'mudar hana. That's the Rashi I was looking for. V'chi did ha'am poreya lo et chovo. Bishalova ze techila. Halva min hamalva. This is where I mean, to go through this more in detail, but that's where I saw that there was.
Okay, I mean, I could hear. I definitely could hear Mokum Lechalik. And just bring it back to over here. What was that? What was that? Oh, so that's what you want to say, that by maskir...
Right, so saving him the money...
That's not just a mavir chari, because he would owe him the money.
The way I would see, like, the Rav is mentioning two different cases of indirection, I guess you call it, right?
Repeat the question.
We were talking about that you're allowed to pay a chov,
right?
You're not allowed to not charge rent, and therefore indirectly. Indirectly give him money, but those two indirections are very different. Is one, you're not doing anything with the person, right? In other words, the mudr hanah, you're not doing anything. Reuven is paying Levi alone, and Shimon is paying Levi alone. You don't know who my Reuvens and Shimons are,
okay.
But whatever. So someone's paying back a loan that had nothing to do with the. The mudra had not was in the picture. He gets a benefit out of it, but the fact that it's indirect is because he's not interacting with the person that he's asked to give hana to. In the case where you're renting something and not charging the rent, so there the renter is indirectly giving something to the person that he's asr b'hana, but it's a direct. The parties involved are direct. He's giving it in an indirect way. Here, the party benefits from it indirectly, but he's not interacting with that person. He's
but
not
in both cases, he saved money.
Yes, that's true. That's the similarity.
In both cases, with the money he saved, he can buy lunch.
Save money. When you pay off a loan to somebody else, he's not saving any money because he wasn't going to pay the loan.
What?
Well, that's a machlok, is what we're talking here in Tanan. I mean, because you're not saving him any money because he wasn't going to pay the loan.
He wasn't going to pay the
loan. We're talking about a loan that he told him that you don't have to pay right away.
No. That's a fuel of rabbanim. Now, we've been talking about that kind of a loan. He's saying, you're mavriya charidvi. What does that mean? You didn't save me any money because all you did was get the guy off my back, but I wasn't going to pay him anyway. You didn't save me money. Isn't that what he's saying?
Is that what he's saying?
I thought so.
No. I thought Chanan is saying even if he would have had to pay him back.
Even if he was chayiv to pay him back.
Right.
But what
this person did to him is not nechshev that he gave him anything, and therefore, it's mutter. But mutter and the other person has no tfiyah on him. That's what's happening over there. I think by Chonon, right? And right.
Taka would have close about Karen at tzvi.
That's right. That's sort of by the ishuk. Okay, fine. That's where he did it with the intention of being paid back. And so we say Karen Atzvi, because he wanted it, but he really isn't entitled to it. Well, here we're talking about where he didn't even want to get the money back. He's paying off the loan with the intention of not getting the money back.
What does his intention have to do with anything, though? Why would it make a difference, his intention?
Because he's not putting the money out Karen Atzvi, he's not planning to get it back. When he put it, the lashon of Karen Atzvi is, he wanted to get it back, but he's messed up, because he didn't do it right. That's Rabbi Yochanan who says that lagabe the isha shahalach ba'alu minisayam. That lashon wasn't shayach to our case of where he's paying off the loan. He didn't put it for Karen Tzvi. He paid off the loan for the guy.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't know what the term meant.
Yeah. Okay.
So last thing. So now the Chilta Shlomo is saying is that's. That is a difference, right? Who he's interacting with, let's say. I wonder if that difference, really is what the deciding factor over here. I might have understood maybe a little bit better with what Michael was saying. That that there's an intrinsic difference between the two things, that if it's between me and you, so really what I'm doing is that I'm really being moichel you that money, so that's a form of giving you something. Whereas if you owe someone else, and I pay off that person, so I'm not giving you anything. Right? It's not. You know, it's that will be this. When I'm paying that, and now your chayv is off, and now the person can't come. But I'm not. You're not receiving anything, right? That's right, that could be why.
But the rabbi I'm asking. I mean, that case came in afterwards, okay. Right? But the rabbi's asking for the difference between. Right. Between the lending, the paying the loan as compared to giving indirect benefit of lending a pot without charging. Right, those were the two cases that we were trying to see the difference. Why one indirect is usser and why one indirect is mutter.
One more time.
I think the Rav started the question with, is we see from the case of paying a chov that indirect is mutter. So why then, by extension, shouldn't we say that you should be able to lend a pot that's, or not a pot, lend a stove that's indirect cooking with, in a place where, where typically you would rent it, right?
Okay, right. I'm saying so. Isn't that really what it is? That when something is usually rented and you're not charging him, so that would be similar to that of being moichel a chayv that someone owes to you.
Okay. So then I don't think I'm saying something too much different.
Right. So sort of what I was saying that
right.
You know,
okay.
Rather than just who you're dealing with, but okay. There's something intrinsically there's a you're talking giving something to him,
okay.
Right? Basically, that's what a mechila is. You're giving back his chayv. That's possibly.
But it's not telling on whether you saved money.
It's not telling.
In both cases, the
Loiva
saved money.
Right. It depends how he's saving the money.
It doesn't.
What we're saying is to be mavriach oneself is not merely being mavriach oneself. Right, that's what that's doing is that you're giving him something. Now, let me just point out something which is probably going through your minds. That does it have to work like that? That it's a mechila. I mean, can't we understand that like there's like no charge in the first place, right? And as I'm giving, we're saying, like, see, if there's a chayv already between the two of us, established chayv, and I'm mechila, okay, that has to go through with mechila. Listen, I'm giving you back the chayv, possibly. But if I'm giving you something and not charging you, so does that necessarily have to work with mechila as if like the charge is there and I'm moichel it, right? Or maybe over there it just maybe it is about mavriach hari, right? Maybe it is that I'm just not charging you in the first place, right? So it's not I'm not giving you anything. So maybe according to Shlomo's understanding, that has to do with who you're interacting with, that will be considered. Right? That's weird. I know. I was explaining it more that in mechanics that you're talking giving him something when you give back a chayv. But I would be according to my explanation, it would have to be understood or easily understood. If it works like that, if I don't charge you for something which normally there's a charge, it works with mechila. And on that one could question that does it have to work with mechila? Can't we just make it that there's no charge in the first place and it's not a mechila? And if so, then we would be back to the question according to my understanding that then that really could be a mavriach hari. Okay, maybe we have to, you know, direct that question to the Rashi, right? That was that really right what I just said? Now your Rashi is talking about a pre-existing choiv, right?
Yeah,
right, right. So that, right. So that wouldn't be a question, but over here, right, that's what it would be.
It seems like in all these cases, we don't go by what the two parties themselves want. We go by what's the binag hamakom. You know, like when we talk about drisus aregel, we go to our people mevater on drisus aregel. Not is this guy mevater on drisus aregel?
Okay,
the same thing.
Okay,
same thing here. Do people
true.
Rent it out? Yeah. Not. Is this guy going to rent it out?
Yeah, but you can't walk through the guy's yard if he's matbid and he puts up a sign, no trespassing, trespassing will be shot.
Is that true? I don't know.
You can't walk through somebody's yard. That's a type of geneva. You have to have a shus.
Remember we had a gemara where like the three things that a young girl told him that he... Right.
He said that you were smarter than me. You won me an argument.
Right.
Because he said everyone else walked through this path. They also were gaslighting. You can't walk through somebody's yard without rishus.
I hear what you're saying, but.
Especially if it damages the crop.
I'm not sure. The question is I'm not sure that's 100% true. There are rules that you're supposed to leave at the edges of your land for amos for people to walk through.
That's not what we're talking about.
I don't know.
Teresa Regal is talking about a shortcut of walking through his yard to get to it to somewhere. We even discussed what happens if the shortcut is to get to food. The Gemara has that question.
But if we're talking here about a person getting anah from walking through a other person's land, we're talking about where he's walking. He just, you know, he has to go through the guy's front door and through his back door to get there. That's what he's. That's what we're talking about.
Nobody
is going to allow such a thing.
He's not gonna. He wants to walk through the guy's backyard to get to the street behind,
okay.
So he doesn't have to walk around the block.
We're talking about a place that people are generally would be mockpit on, meaning like some people put.
Well, obviously, people are mockpit. People put up fences and people put up gates.
So what I'm saying is that what we're talking about? That there's that's where there's no hana in a place where people are mockpit, or where there's no hana in a place where people aren't mockpit.
I don't know the answer to your question, but I do know that you can't walk through the person who specifies his mouth.
Okay. I'm not sure if that's 100.
Okay, but I'm not even sure if that point is relevant to us. Yeah. Okay, so let's see. Let's see. So one more time. So coming back over here. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's what that discussion was. Right, the fact that you see that saving him money. And the more
says he paid
that
off thing. The guy's mortgage.
Right. So what's that?
Every month he was paying $2,000 for the mortgage, so he had much less food to eat. But now that this guy paid off his mortgage, he this month is going to have an extra $2,000 to buy a lot of food.
But how does that change what we discussed over here? Right?
I mean, we've saw, by the way, I'm fairly certain in Ksubos that if a person, if there's a chenvani, a person can go to the store and get food on account, even knowing that this guy that he can't get hana from is going to pay off his account.
That's mutter?
Yeah. That was like one of the eights. Right? Did we have
An eights have had to deal with certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
To beat the system.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, definitely. So, definitely over there.
Yeah.
Right.
Because again, you're just paying off a debt. You're not. If you would pay for his food, that's
he's awesome. Online. He's online at the checkout, and you take out a $20 bill. That's for sure. So.
Right. But if he does it on account, and then you're the next guy in line, I want to pay off his account, that's mutter.
Wow.
Now, I hear what you're saying about maybe the mortgage, because he's getting the money now and he's going to have the food later, but I still think you're just really being...
Yeah, I mean, but I think that really is the difference that we're saying over here. Right? That it's also, if it's something which people pay for, is because we see that money that I could have and would have charged you, I'm giving that to you, right? So that's why that's not merely a mavriya chari. But in these other situations, you know, that's basically, you know, like a mavriya chari. That's what I'm doing. It's mavriya chari also, you know, and ending up with money which you wouldn't have otherwise had, but I'm not giving that to you. And okay, now let's come back over here where we left off. Okay,
thank you for your patience.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't start up with a line anyway.
Yeah, let's just see that last run. Aval mashila cholof v'talos nizom tabas b'gemara shakli v'tori iya ashmin and rabusa b'hochi oiloi elu d'tanino agav. The last run on the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about that these type of kelim, right, which the Mishnah says that that's mutter by mutter Meichel, begodim, and these kind of things. So the run references the Gemara that there's two stodim in the Gemara whether the Mishnah is coming to tell me a chiddush about these things or not. Right, we'll see that in the Gemara.
Also, why do you need four cases? Because Cholok and Talos, Bukhara are in the same category, whatever they are, and Tabas and Nizam are both types of jewelry.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So two probably should have been enough, whatever we're trying to teach you there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay. Okay, that's a point. That is a point. So let's see a little Gemara over here. Zot Gemara, Mantana. The Ran says as follows. Right? What is the Gemara having in mind? What's more questioning? Zot the Ran, Mantana. The Mudah Hano also b'Drisas Haregel. Gemara is asking on Drisas Haregel. Gemara is questioning that even a Mudah Hano, right? Mudah Hano, right? Which is his Hano is not, his Isser is not limited to Achila. And that's what the Mishnah says, that he will be also in Drisus HaRegel. But even that is questionable. Mantana. Now, the question over here, the reason why the Gemara is questioning, as we'll see in the Hemshech HaGemara, is because we're assuming that the Drisus HaRegel in the Mishnah is something which people are not makbid on. And from the fact that they're not makbid, maybe that should not be considered a hano, which seems to be a machlokes to know him about this. Zok the Gemara, Omar Avad V'Rava, Rabbi Lezer he in a chenami. Zok them, it's Rabbi Lezer, it's a shitus. Rabbi Lezer, Taka our Mishnah does not agree with everyone. The Sanya, Rabbi Lezer, Omar Afilu Viter Osur B'Muder Hano, Viter, right? Vitasa means like lotion of mevat, right? Something that person would give up freely. In the context by us, what this means is something that person's not makbid on. He doesn't care if someone uses that benefit of his. Is that Reb Lezer holds also b'hano? Let's see the Ran. Zok the Ran. Vitor.
So we're saying though that according to the Chacham that argued Rabbi Eliezer, they would hold that Jesus and regal be mutter even by a regular mutter hana.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what the Gemara says. Zokter man afil viter mashe darken shel moichrim levater. This is what specifically he was talking about. Mashe darken shel moichrim levater leloichchen shemaisifin lehen kishaloichchen peiris echad eshnayim in a sale between two people, it's a normal practice that the moicher is mevater, which means the Ran says that he throws in something in addition to the amount that was bought, is afilu oisevitr also b'mudr hano. That
does everybody do this extra paris?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it like you buy a dozen bagels, you get 13? It's like, you know, a baker's dozen, that all the bakers in town give you 13 when you buy a dozen?
As opposed to what?
As opposed to that, like, you know, some guys who sell fruit will throw an extra fruit for free. You know, it's not a standard thing across the board. It's just like, you know, some people do it, some people don't. It's something people don't care about.
It might be dependent on this specific moicher, right? Does he do it to everyone or not? Right?
Well, so then you say, maybe not like I want to say, that it also depends, the trespassing also depends specifically on the person? Even though it's not darchan levater, but if a person's not levater, then it's called hana?
Well, okay, so we'll talk about that in a moment, okay? We'll get there.
I don't know if this makes a nafka mina, but the way I understood it, more than like an extra bagel, was sort of like when you add a little more to the scale to make sure it goes down. So you're always giving the benefit to the buyer, but it's not an exact amount. And, you know, so again, that's how I imagined it. I don't know if...
That might be different. That might be a halacha, that you have to weigh down the scale. That might be different.
Okay, but so, you know, even after paying down. But somehow, in my mind, it wasn't like an exact amount.
Even if it's a halacha, if you're giving more... Then you bought a pound and you're getting 1.1 pounds. So then if you hold Peter as usher, it might still be usher.
Oh, that's true.
No.
So Michael is saying that if it's halacha, it's probably based on the fact that in order to ensure that you're giving him what he deserves, you have to do that.
Right, but the mice, you're giving more.
So, but we're not viewing that you're giving him more.
That's what you have to do.
What that is because since the scale might be over, whatever it is, in order to ensure that you're not cheating the buyer or whatever it is, that's where that halacha comes from. So it's not really viewed as you give him anything
so
more.
So even the man devar vitor also wouldn't hold out be mutter by mutter hanav.
One more time.
Even the man devar holds vitor as also, that will be mutter.
That would be mutter. Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the proper scenario, right, I think we shouldn't speak up because every mechir like we had before, right, that might be a hano aspect. So you have to clear the general, right, the general hano that a lekech might get. Koi viape, right.
Well, that's the Ram said that in the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it'll be hadar just for the fact that he's selling it to you,
mm-hmm.
not because he's giving you a little bit extra.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm.
Maybe the reason why I had that impression was because his lashon is echad or shtayim, right? So again, that's not mashma that it's a. I mean, to me, it's mashma that it's not a, you know, like a case where you're talking about where he's always selling 13. You know what I mean?
Well, echad or shnayim, if you're talking about grapes, you're putting an extra grape in the thing. But if you're talking about watermelons or apples, echad or shnayim could be...
Right, so probably he's not talking about watermelons.
Well, watermelon usually buy one at a time. He's not going to give you two extras. But apples, I think, you know, if you're buying a box of apples, the way I understood it is this isn't going at the time of the sale. This is, you make the sale, you give the money, you've got a box of apples, and then he goes, oh, let me throw in two more. It's after the sale is done.
Well, some people, you're walking down the street and they say, taste this fruit, and then you see it tastes good, you want to buy it.
Right, so that's also right. Or, you know, I don't want that sometimes. They're handing out free food or something.
So that's probably also the mood.
Well, that's this case.
Yeah, see, if you look that's over future. Here, looking in the Rosh is more elaborate on what Viter is, the actual case of Viter. when the Rosh says, you see the Rosh, Afilu vita osam b'mudah hano, mash derech odam levatim yishaloi, it's the practice of a person that person, you know, gives away something, but in a makbid olav. And he's not makbid, right? He doesn't care about it. Kigoin, hachenvoni, the storekeeper. Acha shenosan haminyan, oy hamida shrigil nitein,
Bipunyan,
right? After the proper amount is decided for the matmeda his pain, proper measure, hu rogel lahoisif misheloi, he will add something from his own, kidei lahargiloi, lovoi etzloi.
He wants again to come back.
Right. Oisei viter, so that's what we're talking about. Oisei viter osor lemuda hano, kiven shumavater shaloi. Fine.
Right. According to Rabbi Eliezer.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's how the Rosh explains it. The truth is that it would have been easier really to understand it the way Shlomo's saying, right? That would be an easier comparison to Drisus Haregel, but let's just hear it in the context of Drisus Haregel, and then we'll get back to the exact application of Rabbi Eliezer. You see, Drisus Haregel, what the Gemara is talking about, Drisus Haregel is we're saying it's something that people are not makbid on, and therefore the Gemara says, according to the Chachomim of Rabbi Eliezer, that would not be considered a hano. It's hano, and therefore even the mudr hano would be mutter. Pashas, what that means is that since people are not machshiv that, they don't consider that as being something, so even though theoretically you're having a benefit, but that benefit is not considered a benefit. It's not some people, you know, it's insignificant. That's what the explanation on that would be. All right, so that would be the machlokes.
I thought maybe we had a different way of understanding before.
Yeah, well, so I'm going to get to
okay.
that.
Oh, okay,
I'm
going to
get
fine.
That.
Okay.
Right. So what? The Ran, and I'm done. The Ran, the Rosh tells us that Rabbi Eliezer really is talking about something else, and what he's talking about is that he's putting it in really for a purpose. Right.
He's not just doing it because he doesn't care and he's not
right.
profit.
Right.
He's doing it because he wants the guy to come back to buy from him next time.
Right, right.
But so once everybody does it, it doesn't really help. If the next guy does it too, then it loses its effect. If you're the
that's partially true, because you got it from this guy. It's true the next guy over is doing it, but you got it from this guy,
like
so you have a chavivus to this guy.
You feel like you want to come back. So that's the case, that then he's doing it for a purpose, so therefore...
So why is that a vita? Yeah. Right. So why are we looking at that as where's the vita over here? I mean, he's not just this is the price that he's paying for his advertising or whatever he's doing, right? And it's not a vita. He doesn't give it to just to anyone. Right? So why is where's the vita aspect?
He's not doing it for the locat's benefit. He's doing it for his own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants the locat to come back.
Right. Right, that was a question that was bothering us over here. Right? According to this explanation, where's the viter? Where's the viter of it?
And you hear what he's asking. He's saying viter is because you don't care about it. This isn't because he doesn't care about it. He cares about the apples. It's just shava for him to give it.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you over the thought. I was discussing this with Michael the other day, and I'll tell you the thought that we were thinking, possibly like this, that there is an aspect of viter involved in this, because when a person does such a thing like this, that I mean, if he knew that his customer, you know, was not going to be moved by this act, and it would not have made a difference to him, then he probably wouldn't do it. Right? So he's only doing it because he's hopeful, he's counting that it will accomplish something. is therefore that when a person is doing this, so there are really two possibilities in what will happen, right? Either he'll get customer will come, his customer won't come, right? So possibly like this, that the vitur is that on the tzad that his customer is not going to come, so he's not going to accomplish anything from over here, right? That's where the tzad vitur over here is that there is an expression of vitur here in the fact that he's doing something that, you know, if there was no vitur in it, then maybe he wouldn't do this. You have to have a vitur in this. You got to be open to such a possibility and be okay with the fact that if he doesn't come, fine, so let him have it. And it's not like he's giving him it on the condition that he comes, right? What he's doing is that if he doesn't come back, I'll find, you know, so then he could have it for free, right? That's what he's doing. It might be in the big picture, you know, this is, he sees that it's worth it for him to do it. But there is a tzad viter over here that's going through his mind that even if he doesn't come back, and then fine, I don't care. I'm letting him have it.
If he hears the customer has an accent, he's from a different country, and he hears the customer telling his friend, you know, I'm going back to my country in 10 minutes. I'm not gonna. So would he give him the extra pay or two? Because there's.
Maybe he wouldn't, but even so, we're saying. Meaning, let me say it in a different way. One might think that he's giving to 10 customers, he knows that 5 are going to come back and 5 aren't going to come back. Right. And you would say, it's worth it for him to give out 10 to get 5.
Right.
But we're saying that's not what's going on. It's each individual customer, there's a chance he comes back, there's a chance he doesn't come back. And the chance he comes back, then he's just paying him in advance for the coming back. But on the chance that he doesn't come back, he's mevater on that chelik. It's not like a 50, it's not like all of the customers are grouped together. That's what we're coming to say.
So if he does come back,
Am I saying it wrong? Or
okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right.
If he does come back, then there's no veto.
Right.
Correct.
Right. If we knew that this thing works, basically he's paying him to come back.
So then right? he got something extra. No,
because he's paying him to come back. That's what it would be. So there's no hana on that. There's no hana from there.
Why is that no hana?
Because he's paying him to come back. That's what it is.
He's giving me something extra.
No, it's not extra. He's paying him to come back. That's what he would be doing, right? So that's why there's no hana on that side. The only side is on the side of Viter, that even though I'm not coming back, he's giving me something, and that's what we have to down on that. Whether that's a hana, he's getting on that side. He's getting a freebie, right? That's right. But he's mevater on it, right? So that's where you have the Viter over here, and that's the shaila. That's what we were thinking.
If he comes back, then he's just being paid, and that's not called hana?
On that side, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, that's how we would view it.
It's part of how, you know, you would have given him more anyway. You would have given him that extra more anyway as part of the sale. And so that's just shava for you.
But I paid for 10, I got 11.
That 11 is for the next time you come. So now, the next time you come, it's true, now you're going to pay that same amount for 10. But really, I'm making a profit even if I would give you 11. So that's why I'm giving you 11.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was the thought over here. Akopon, that was the question, and maybe someone has a different answer.
We did have one other answer.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. What was the other
one comment first? There's in business school we learn an argument against doing this kind of thing. It makes people think, oh, you must have made a big profit on me. If you're now willing to throw in more, I didn't get such a good deal. And you can kind of see that here, because I'm giving the extra saying, I'm going to make money really on 11, and you know, but I'm selling it to you for, you know, that price for 10. But the guy's willing to do it because even at 11 he's making a profit. Right, whatever. That's just a. So, but we had another idea, because I asked this question by a kiddush. If you're usher hana from somebody and he makes a kiddush in the shul, and you go to the kiddush, and I wanted to say there that he's not doing it for you. He's giving it to the tzibur. It's now available to the tzibur, and that's not a hana for you. You're just meaning you're not getting a hana from him. He gave to the tzibur, and now you're getting what's available to the tzibur. That you could just look at the vitor, possibly, no? Did we go away from that? You say that didn't work?
Might make a difference whether he's making a kiddush because he wants to be mahana the tzibur, and therefore each person is really supposed to thank him because he's doing it to help me. He's doing it because he wants, or if he's making a kiddush because he has a chiv to make a kiddush or something, and he's trying to fulfill his chiv, and he just wants to fulfill his chiv, and he just puts the food down on the table, and as long as he's yotzei his chiv.
Who keeps the leftovers from the kiddush? Is that for the shul stock
Okay, I hear that question. Usually, people take it home and leave what they want to leave, but they have the right to take it.
So then it seems like you're not machne to the shul. You're using the shul's facilities to give out your food. Right. That's
okay. I hear what you're saying. I hear.
If you go to a kiddush, can you take a bowl full of food and take it home? Can you take a plate and take it home for your whole family? You want to take 10 cookies home for your whole family, but it did.
I see that done.
I think that's generally. But I guess there's probably a point where you can't do it. You know, like
20, 30.
We'll test it out this week. We'll each go to different kitchen dishes, experiment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, Kailomazan, let's see. Let's just see. Here, let's see if you can cover a little.
Yeah. What does that mean?
What?
Lamazin?
Let us see. Let us see.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. We wanted to talk about this. The Gemara is assuming that Drishus Regel, there is no Hakpada. And therefore, the Gemara is equating this to a vitor, and therefore it's dependent on the machlokes. Now, let's talk about first what would be if people are machlokes, right?
This individual or most?
Let's say people. We'll talk about people. Right? Then we'll talk about difference.
Well, if people are machlokes, then you can't do it.
No, but he's letting.
Yeah, but he's letting him. He's letting him, right? That's what's happening over here, right? People are makbid, right? And he's letting him. So what would that mean? I mean, what would the halacha be over here?
That's not a pashat aser.
What?
That's not a pashat aser.
Well, what's hana? Is hana something you would pay for? Would you pay for the right to walk through this guy's yard? What's hana? How do you determine what's hana? Does it have a value to you?
I hear your question, but isn't the mashma in the Gemara that it's only a question because people are mevater? Can't you make a diyuk that if they would not be mevater?
Clearly it's clear from the Gemara.
What?
No, I mean.
Right. Now. To me, it seems like that if people would be makbid, we would view it like kalim that people don't lend and they only charge, that kind of thing. Even though that you know, in the Gemara, it would seem to be that you know, either you charge, you don't charge for a kalim. Well, it didn't really discuss about what about, you know, things that people just don't lend out, right? You know, no charge, don't lend. That's really what it comes to talk about over here, right? I mean, I don't think people charge. It's like a toll,
right?
You know, if you want to go through,
it's either they the letter, they don't lend.
Right. Yeah. But how do we view something that people are mapping on, and over here he's letting you do that. Right, so to me, it sounds like from the way the Rishonim equate this over here is that we would view that as like we're saying, anything has a price, basically, right? Oh. Right. So you know, person's makbid, but you know, that just means that he wants something in exchange, right? At a certain point, you know, he'll take that and he'll let you go, right? Probably, right? Right. So akoponus. So then you'd be gaining that. That would be like the kalim, you know, that people. People rent, and he's not charging you. That's what that would be.
That view makes it even more usher than things that people rent out. Because this guy's not going to rent it out unless you pay him a huge amount.
Okay,
yeah, he's so giving you even more.
It's going to be, yeah, okay, right, it might be a larger amount of money. Right. Okay, so that's on that end of the thing, just to explain that definitely the mashmois is that... is like that. And as a matter of fact, right. And that's why, you know, that's the Cheshbon Gemara. That's why the Gemara is assuming that we're obviously not talking about that he's Makbid, because if he's Makbid, then it has that din. Right? And then it's also even, you know, a mother Michael. Right, so that's where the premise of the Gemara comes from, right? You know, the Gemara is assuming that the Drisus Regel, and you could say some, you know, maybe not some people, not Makbid, but it's more than that, right? And we'll see better, even more about this. But the Gemara, right now we understand why Akoponim, if we needed to explain this, right? But that the Gemara is coming in with the assumption that people are not Makbid, because if people were Makbid, then it will be like Kalim. Right, that you charge for, and it should be also even by Mudah Meichel. So why is there a difference? Elamai, you're not. If you're not, so then the question is the other day. So that's why the Mudah comes in from that side. If people are not Makbits, then even the Mudah Hano should be Mutter. So the Mudah Klami is totally in Rabbi Lezer and the Chacham. Now like this. There's a... If you look in the Tosfos over here, Tosfos says right away in Drisus Haregel, Tosfos says b'mokum delei kapti inshi ki goyim bikra b'mois hacham. Tosfos says that the Mishnah is talking about the very first Tosfos of it in the Mishnah.
Well, the Mishnah.
Yeah. That's called in Drisus Haregel. Tosfos says b'mokum this that. The Mishnah says that the difference is Risa Regal, but Mokam Deloy Kapti Inchi, Ki Goin Biko Vimois Hacham. So Tosis.
Is that like a valley?
What? Yeah. Mm hmm. Mm hmm.
I think that the point of Yimois Hacham, what's the difference between Yimois Hacham or Yimois and Shaman?
That the trampling doesn't affect the things that grow, that are growing there.
The ground's wet, you're going to hurt the root.
So it's like this. So Tosfos tells us like this, that we're assuming that this Drisus Regel is something which is lekapti. Now, but where is that? That in the Chanami, that's taka not in every place, right? That's dafko, you know, in such a place. And Tosfos really asks in the Gemara, like you know, speaks to what we just mentioned before. If you look in the Gemara, jump to Tosfos in the Gemara, Mani Reb Lezer, you see that? Just to go down a couple of lines, right? Umari bebeko b'maisa chamer lekapti k'deprishus, right? That's where, right? The Drisus HaRegel is something which is lekapti, and therefore it's totally on. less than bonin. Bim taimar fectasis for look mahocha bechotzer the capti with the kuliyama. Right, just pointing out the same place that really has to do taka with the area that he's walking through. Chotzer menastam people taka machbid a bika and bimaisachama. That's a place. That's menastam that people are not machbid. So Taisa asks his question over there. We just spoke this through. But Taisa, you know, is asking the question that the Gemara is assuming that we're talking about in a bika makom lekapti, and therefore the Gemara has issues that why should it be osur for Taisa so far? And so let's talk. Let it be talking about a place where people are kapti.
Why is his hana totally on whether the other person is machbid? You either got
hana
or you didn't get
hana. So I guess hana is getting a value, right? So if
hana the person is a benefit, I benefit because I got the shortcut.
But it's not just benefit; it's benefiting something that has a value, right? If the person isn't makbid on it, so that takes away any value that you're getting.
Why should I be telling the makbid? What? Either I got the benefit of the shortcut, or I didn't get the benefit of the shortcut. What does that have to do with whether the guy who owns it? I mean, obviously, if he's makbid, I can't do it. But what?
I mean, but that's your question specifically asking there, or this on the whole Rebbe Lezer? I mean, that's what the basis of that machlekes is, right? A viter is a viter considered a hana or not? Right, that is the machlekes. Mitzad echov, so of course, if you got something, but mitzad acher, right, the svar is that it's insignificant a component, right? It's something that, you know, person doesn't really care about, so it's insignificant.
Why is it telling him the person who's giving? You should be telling him whether the recipient got hana.
What's called hana?
Well, see like this. What I'm saying.
Hana's a benefit.
Maybe okay. It has to be a monetary benefit, a benefit that could be equivalent to money. No.
Okay. I mean, but I think that you're still saying that there's something which establishes or rates it as a benefit, not just the mere, you know, thing. It's that Lezer is assuming that's where his question is coming from. That you know, if you just deal with that the thing itself, there was a benefit over here. Right? I got the shortcut, the chais, I got the this, you know, whatever it is. That's what this question is assuming. So where you're heading is you have to argue with the premise, right? That's not enough to get to be considered hano concerning these halachas over here, right? If it's something which doesn't have any backing, any type of value, maybe monetary value, right? You know, is going to establish what it is. But if we don't have something else to rate it, to give it chashivas, then the fact that Sef Kol Sef, I benefited, I saved myself the 5 minutes, you know, whatever it was, that's not nechshav hano.
It might be tied to what you said when you came in here, is it hana from you? Okay, you're getting hana, but if the other person isn't giving up anything, like walking past a flower store, you know, flowers and you know, enjoying the scent of the flowers, you know, a person gets hama. I doubt if anyone would say that would be aser if in this case, right? But maybe like Lagabe Pesach, right? Where let's say walking by a bakery where chometz is aser b'hama. So I think you can't. So that's what. But I think that's the difference. Is that by chametz you're not allowed to get hana from chametz, right?
Right.
Here you're not allowed to get hana from him, right? So walking past the flower store and smelling the nice flowers wouldn't be considered a hana from him.
Hmm. Hmm. But I think again we're still establishing that getting from him, maybe like you said, that there has to be some kind of monetary loss, right? You
know, right. That's what makes it from him.
That's what makes it from him. Akoponim, that's what we're saying here, right?
I mean, to be mechalak then with chametz is that we would say that when you're mutter hana from a person, it has to be equivalent to money, whereas by chametz, that's bichlal, not the, it's a different kind of hana.
Well, what he's saying that the chiluk is whether you can have hana from him or from it.
Right. So we wanted to say, right. So according to that, then I understand that chiluk. But if we're saying that the flowers isn't because you're not getting it from him, but because it's not a monetary value, so what's the iser hana from the bakery? That you have to say chametz, the iser hana from chametz is different from iser hana when you're mudur hana?
Mm-hmm. So that already would require a little bit more to explain what the difference is. Why would that be different? If you're talking about intrinsically whether it's considered hana, so we need an explanation. Why this and not that? At this point, we could always bring up this other thing that we discussed also, that. Are we talking about something, let's say, in this application, in intrinsic hana, or we're talking about that in made a neder, right? So the intention when a person makes a neder and isra hana, what he's referring to, so even though in halacha maybe this is considered hana, but you know, he was not intending that, and when a person talks hana, he's not referring to this, and that's
to
why.
Say what he made the neder, what he had in mind?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that would
is
make
that conditional b'nei Adam, or is that his specific?
So that's also part of the question.
So that would make a nafkamina if he explicitly puts in the nether,
right?
That
very good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. If it's intrinsically nahanos, then you're saying that if your issa was an issa hano, you can't include something which is intrinsically not hano. It wouldn't help. Right,
I'm not going to even get a hana from the smell of the flowers of your store.
So let's say, based on what Shlomo was saying, let's say the he made a net not to have hana from Reuven, and Reuven has in front of his yard a beautiful flower decoration set up situation which people come by just to look at for a minute and enjoy watching. So maybe so would he be ushered to walk by and look at that? It's not something Reuven charges for. He doesn't charge people money. And Reuven's not mocking people walking by and staring at his beautiful flowers. But he's benefiting from it. He enjoys it. He stops for...
That will be similar to Drisus Regel?
Is that
Talmud Hakbasa? So, the person where a person's not Machbid, that Drisus Regel.
Yeah, right. That would sound like that's what it is, right?
So that would be Mutter. Even though I got a Hana from it. Because I enjoyed looking at it.
I mean, this is something people do charge for.
Well, they charge.
He's not going to charge, but there are botanical gardens
right,
where they charge money.
So if it's in a place, if it's again, there are gardens that they do, but houses typically don't. In other words, if you have a beautiful, you hire a landscaper and,
you want people to don't put up such a beautiful thing that people walk by to see it. This guy's really doing it up, and he's doing it for free. And it's
okay.
This
might come to the next net that we want to just touch on quickly. Is that when we're talking about over here, makbid, not makbid, is this dependent? Who is this dependent on? Who, right? On this the hakpada. Let's say, according to the Rabbonin, right? Let's see. According to Rabbonin, that a viter is mutter, right? Right. So, what would be if the person in our situation, right? The baal hasoda, right? He's not makbid, but the person who goes through is makbid, or maybe if everyone's makbid, and he personally is not makbid. Right, but let's just talk about at this point between the two people. Do I need to have that? It's something that both people relate to this as a non-makbid.
how can you use the term machbid for the one who's getting hanah? Hakbad is for the owner of the field.
It means this type of thing, right? Because that'll mean.
No matter if he's machbid, but
in his own house,
walk through
right?
His own house.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what you're talking about,
right? Mm-hmm. Right.
He would never have let anybody walk through his own yard, but now he wants to walk through this other guy's yard.
Starting to understand why he was a loader.
See, this is where it might make a difference in how you understand what the point is, is this something intrinsically not considered hano, you know, from some that we explained, or it has to do with that you're not getting from him. Because he's not losing anything.
Well, more so, is it tali person by person, or is it tali the law machbi inchi that it's in general, people in general are not machbi? Is it tali on each individual, or is it, I don't know. I thought the lashon in the round of the avar of the law kapti inchi, I thought it's a general thing. 90% of the people are not machbi. I mean, that's what I thought the words meant.
And if a person was makbid over here, this is, I think, it sounded like you were heading in the other direction.
You can never walk through somebody's yard if they're makbid.
But we're talking about that he's normally makbid and he's letting you do it, right? That's what we're talking about over here. So what are you holding in such a case? I mean, basically, according to the way we set it up before, is that he would charge anyone else $100 to walk through, right? And he's letting you go through now.
Right? That's awesome.
Okay. Right?
That's clearly awesome.
Okay, even though everyone lets everyone walk through. Right? So it might be a thing that lay captive, but this person is makbid.
So right? It's totally on the person. It's not totally on the general
person. Akoponim, working that way, right? I would think, right? Because the fact of the matter is that he's saving him money, right? He would never let him walk through. He never lets anyone walk through unless someone pays him, you know, whatever, you know, enough to convince him to let him get through, right?
So that's like borrowing a keli she'enos and Michael,
right?
And not paying the rent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Does that depend on the person? Most people in this area don't charge rent, but this guy's makbid on this thing. He would only do it if he rented
it. Yeah, right. Same idea. Right. That's right. Right. That's really where we're heading. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's just quickly just see this piece of Gemara. Okay, Zot Gemara. The Gemara asks a question like this on the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah tells us that you can't borrow these kelim. Fatima Avraham and Michael Nodar. Min Michael Nodar. The Ran explains that the Gemara's kasha over here is thinking that the neder that he said was that he can't have Hanoah from Michael itself. So, frek the Gemara, v'homen Michael noder, and this is not Michael. It might be something which will bring to Michael, but that's not what he answered. Is Zot Gemara, Omar, Shim ben Lokish, po'imer, hanoas Michael ho olai. Zot Gemara, in Ochenami, right?
If he just said min Michael, he's only offered actual food.
Okay, that's what we're about to speak out right now. Right, very good. That the Gemara seems to be agreeing with the premise of the question, and that if he used the expression that we thought he did, then the question is right. Zot Gemara, that our mission is speaking that he said something different. And that's why the Isser could extend to something further.
What about things like a pot that's more direct, that's not a gorm of a gorm, it's more direct? Would that be included in Min Michael? Are we specifically saying because it's Napa, Kivra, Rechaim, so, and Tanra is a gorm of a gorm? Yeah. Therefore, it's not included in
Michael? So let's see the Ran. You want to see the Ran? The Ran makes his chesed. Let's see this. The Ran says, Elo Hochi have a piska de milsa. You see where the Ran is, it's the Div Masla Omar Rova, it's a few lines in. The Ran says, he's discussing a article different point, which is the next step in the Gemara. But he says like this, Elo Hochi have a piska de milsa. Right, this is the plaque that comes out of this piece of Gemara. Inodar mi Michael any osa elo ba'achila bilvad umoter b'chol dover acher. Okay,
actual food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the Ran says. So now let's see. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that he said the hanos my cholcha olai. Now the Ran explains. Over here, if you go back to the Ran in the Gemara before that Ran that we just saw, Dom Hanos Machol Cholai, the Kivin Shahoisif Va'oma Hanos HaMaichol. So the Ran explains, and this is important for the next step in the Gemara, that the term that he used right now, Hanos Machol Cholai, doesn't necessarily intrinsically mean what we're saying here. And it could really be translated the same way. However, given the hoisif, since he spoke this out, he was meirich, he was very more wordy than necessary. So that's what gives the impression that he means something different. Given the hoisif, I'm reading the Ran in the Gemara, the second Ran over here.
It's the narrow lines, but toward the bottom of them.
Okay, so we're in different masks. Do mahanos machol cholai. The kivin shahoisiv o mahanos hamayichel harei osa latzmei kol ma shegorim oisoi. The Ran says because he added these words, so his intention it must be something else. So that's why we understand that his intention is that it anything which is gorim the maichel. So, korle maicholcha mishum de begromas hanos aloi hu misukin. Right. So this is the basic of the Gemara. From the fact that he used these terms, that's what he means, and that's why the group of things that he answered with this lashon is something which, as we know in the Mishnah, is something which brings about hanos achilu. And that the Gemara asks the kasha that if that's so, if you tell me that intrinsically these words don't really have to mean that, it's only because he used a wordy way of expressing this. So asks the Gemara that there's a maybe more simpler way of translating these words to mean something more than just the Maichel itself. Hanois Machocho means Shlo Yilas V'chitin V'itamakosei, means not to be nena from food, not to be nena from food, mean to say other than Achila. That's what it would mean. Right, so if he would have just said machol cholai, then the isser would be to have hanoas achila from the food. If he said machol cholai, but if he said hanoas machol cholai, what he's adding with that is that I can't derive any kind of pleasure from the object that he's answering is a food object, but it's not limited to food hano.
Right, but it's still, but pots and pans would still be mutter.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. He'd be talking about the food item. So on that, Rava says, once again, Rava adjusts the exact
so we
term. Mm-hmm.
We reject saying Hanos Machol Cholai.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hanos Machol Cholai, the Gemara, Kinir, the Gemara says, and I think that's we'll see in the Ran, that it would, in the Chanami, it would only add to Aser such a thing like that, to use food for other benefits, but it would not answer things which are goyrim machil.
That's the case of the Mishnah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now, once that's so, I think that I would have said that now that he said this, it only includes things which are garim, and the previous kind of thing had to be nana from food, from his food with other than eating would not be awesome.
What about eating the food itself?
That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That would be mutter.
Eating the food would be mutter?
What?
Eating the food?
Oh, I don't think that's what I was saying.
Oh, I thought that's
no, what
you
no,
were
no.
saying. No, he was saying chewing it and putting it on his pocket.
Yeah, right. Oh. That's what I was trying to, okay, I'm sorry for that.
What about eating? Much noise.
So, why eating? Why should eating?
It's not mevi'el idei machol. It's machol itself.
So I mean, I think that's partial to us, no?
My problem with this Gemara, and then I think this, So the Mishnah says, food, and then we're either changing the girsa or we're changing the understanding of it, and we're spelling out exactly what he's answering and what he's not. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Right? I mean, it seems from the Gemara is he's ushering whatever he says, he ushers it. So depending on exactly how you say it, what it means is what you're ushering. But then there's no chiddush to the Mishnah.
This is bothering me. You're saying the Mishnah says Michael.
Right.
But it's not talking about where he was noter from Michael. It's talking where he was noter from a completely different Lashon.
So
how could the Mishnah, if it's saying that it's talking about a din when you're noder by this lashon, why didn't it give the lashon it was talking about? It gave a different lashon.
So that's
is that what you're asking?
That's one way I would ask. I'm not sure. Is the Gemara trying to say that the girsa of the Mishnah is different, okay, or is it saying that that we're understanding the Mishnah must mean that?
I don't think
so didn't you see the Ran? Let's see. What does the Ran say? The Ran, that Ran that we started seeing. Elohoch, let's hear that again. Elohoch, you have a pisk of the milsa. Di nader mi maichol, ene also el bachila bilvat, umotu b'chol davar acher. Guys, let's see. What are these these three examples? What is that? Omar, if he said hanoas malchol cholai,
so achila is bilvat. He would not be also to put on the market, and he would not be also for pots or pans or anything.
Right.
It's just Michael.
Right. Omar hanoas my chol cholai, then also bachil was a little eschitim agav makosoi. Avolishol mimenu napak foro. That's all shori.
What about a regular pot?
So I would think also.
Also shori.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's like it's a deek in the Ran, but
well, at this point, the Lashon, we find that our Mishnah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was saying, but you could question the deek. Now, Omar Hano Hamevil Demaycholai also Bachil also Lishol Napik for. Now, however, Miu Lilo is Chitim Litan Lagav Makos is Shori Kachin Beinai. Right, he brought a machlek about it, but that's what the Ran says. So the way the Ran is saying this now, just going to get to what we were speaking before, it definitely sounds like we're talking about different expressions, right? And then coming out of the suga, so the Mishnah really is adjusting what the case in the Mishnah. What did he say? And depending on what he said, we'll have different dinim. And the halacha that the Mishnah says only fits, this final expression. Now, but as far as your question is concerned, I think that there still is a question, like we discussed before, that the issue is whether direct cause or even garim de garim, right? And that'll be the chiddush of the Mishnah. But in order b'chlal that he should be talking about a garim in the first place, even a direct garim, we have to be talking. We need this kind of lashon, this term.
So if the Rebbe explains it like that, then I think I'm falling into like what you were asking. Is that so? If the Mishnah isn't using that terminology,
So the Mishnah is...
If we're not changing the lashon of the Mishnah, we're just inferring that that's what the Mishnah is talking about based on the halacha.
Okay.
Right? In other words, the Mishnah, the lashon of the Mishnah stays as is, but we can't take the Mishnah literally because the halacha won't make sense, so we're inferring that it's talking about that he's using a different lashon.
Yeah, okay.
So then how could we learn the chiddush that it's talking about, you know, so change his lashon a little more to make it more exact. How can we learn the chiddush that it doesn't include, that this lashon does include an indirect keli as compared to a direct keli? You know, either way, we could sort of like say, okay, well, then adjust the Lishna to be more clear that it's talking about an indirect, even an indirect Kaylee. You know, really, me dying that because you use this Lushan, it even includes an indirect Kaylee based on what we're assuming that he said, based on what the halacha is. You know, you have circular reasoning here.
Even more than that, we can say a different Mishnah. We can say there's a difference between Mudr regular Michael and Mudr Michael with this Lashon, Mudr Michael with that Lashon, and Mudr Hana in general. There's many different differences. The way the Mishnah makes it sound like is that Mudr Michael versus regular Hana, this is the difference, but it's not exactly the way it seems because it's a tailored fit Lashon. So once it's a telephone Lashon, the Mishnah could have been machalic between, you know, any Bein Mudr Michael when you say this exactly telephone Lashon. But if you Bein Mudr Michael a different way, then it will be different.
I think that's okay.
Well, let's just address maybe this question that Shlomo was asking. Right, the question was that if the halacha is establishing the lashon, then maybe the lashon have to be more exact in order to include everything over here. Right, so I think then from the way the Ran speaks out the why we see Chiddush in the Mishnah is because the Mishnah tells us something, and then the Mishnah is elaborating on what on something specific which is included in that. Now, if according to the question is that, well, maybe we use the term that the term directly talks to that thing, then it wouldn't be necessary for the Mishnah to speak out, you know, these two things, right? Kelim she'enosin and this also. I mean, this, right? So intrinsically, the way the Mishnah speaks out, right, we see in there that there's a chiddush, that the words themselves you could have thought maybe don't, maybe they taka just limited to something, you know, a smaller group. And the Mishnah is telling me a chiddush. So that's all part of, like, what it says, even before we decide what the words are. But we know that the words are something that one might have been mechalik. So it's definitely not explicit what it is. Right, that's how I would hear concerning that question. Al kaponim. Right. All right. Okay. I was hoping to get a little further, but looks like we'll have to hold over here for now.
Now this is this coming week's topic.
So.